Good morning and welcome to A Public Affair. I'm your host this morning, Liz Lane. As part of KGNU's ongoing coverage of the issues and candidates populating the 2016 election, I'm very pleased to be moderating this morning's important debate on Colorado CARES Initiative 69, which would amend Colorado's state constitution to establish and fund a state health care payment system to fund health care for all individuals whose primary residence is Colorado. We have two experts with us live in the studio to advocate both views on Amendment 69. T.R. Reid is a journalist, author, and documentary filmmaker, and he's written many books about the United States healthcare system, including The Healing of America. T.R. lives in Denver and joins us live in the studio to speak to the pro-Amendment 69 view. Dr. Jill Vecchio is a radiologist in Wheat Ridge and considered a national expert on healthcare reform. She's also here in the Boulder studio, and welcome to you both. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Hi. It's great to have you both here. And again, I think this is just a super important conversation, both here in the state as well as nationally, as Colorado tries again to sort of be a leader and branch out and do something in the state that many have tried to get the federal government to do. So our standard format involves each of you giving a statement, a couple minutes as to your position on the amendment. And after that, we will open up the phones and get listeners' comments and questions. I'll also give each of you an opportunity to ask questions of the other, and I have a few questions myself. So we didn't really talk about who was going to go first, but whoever goes first now, the other person will wrap it up. So Jill just pointed to TR. So TR, you are on.
Delighted. Hey, I love this station, Liz, so I'm delighted to be here.
It's great to see you in person.
Yeah, nice to see you too. We don't like the current system of healthcare in the United States and in Colorado. Even with the Obamacare expansion, there are 33 million people in our country who don't have health insurance, and our group thinks that's wrong. We think a decent, ethical democracy ought to provide healthcare for everybody, and as a matter of fact, all the other advanced democracies in the world already do it. It's only the world's richest country that leaves millions uninsured. In Colorado, 360,000 people have no health insurance, and we think we ought to come up with a plan to cover them. The current system involves people buying health insurance from for-profit private insurance companies. They're based in Minnesota, in Connecticut, in Indiana. We have no control over them. They raised their premiums. Last year, they raised their premiums 10 times the rate of inflation. The insurance department says they're going to raise premiums 17% next year. And yet they keep narrowing the coverage. They have this thing called, they call it a narrow network. They pick a network of doctors you can see. If you like that doctor, fine. If Dr. Smith is your doctor and has been your doctor for 20 years, you're out of luck because she's not in the network. And then they impose these huge deductibles. The average deductible, you look at the Colorado Care Exchange for a family of four, $4,800, $6,200, which means you get to pay the insurance company every month and never use the product. We've decided there should be a better way. So we've come up with a system called Colorado Care. We call it that because it's not Obamacare. It covers everybody. You live in Colorado, you're automatically covered. Guess what the deductible is, Liz? Zero. No deductible. And guess who chooses the doctor? In our system, the patient chooses the doctor, the chiropractor, the lab, the hospital, not the insurance company. So we're offering a broader choice, no deductible. We're going to cover everybody. And guess what, Liz? It's not free. In fact, it's going to cost $25 billion. And when I debate on this, the opponents say, oh, my God, Coloradans would never vote to spend $25 billion. But guess what? Last year, Coloradans spent $30 billion on health insurance premiums. In the first year, we're going to save $5 billion with our Colorado Care plan. So
let me stop you there, TR. I just want to get that right. Last year, in 2015, Coloradans, the ones who did have health insurance, you just mentioned that 300-some thousand do not, but those that did paid $30 billion in premiums.
That's right. And then businesses paid even more for the medical part.
And that doesn't
part.
Count the deductibles that they had to pay
oh,
in order to get coverage.
The deductibles, the co-pays,
right.
all the stuff that's not covered.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's going up 17% next year. Our plan is a payroll tax. Everybody's going to pay 3.3%. Your employer pays 6.7%. Yeah, it's a new tax, but you don't have to pay your health insurance premium. And so almost every family in Colorado will come out ahead. I think at about $182,000 a year, people will start to pay more. That's about the 1%
of income. $182,000 of income.
Of income, yeah. So that's about the 1% in Colorado will pay more, and they'll be helping all their neighbors get health insurance who don't have it now. So not a bad trade-off.
Okay, TR. Dr. Jill Vecchio.
Thanks, Liz. Thanks for having me. This is the first time I've been here. This is great. First of all, I think TR and I agree on a lot of things, actually. We agree that the healthcare system is messed up. It's been messed up and getting increasingly messed up over the past, you know, 30, 40, 50 years. Obamacare certainly didn't fix the problem. A lot of people that did included thought it would, including the proponents of this. So Obamacare did not even come close. It made the system much worse and has proven to be more expensive. I agree, we have an absolute moral obligation as human beings to take care of people that are truly in need, and that includes their medical care, and I agree with that. And as a physician, I've given plenty of free care. I see Medicaid patients, and I'm in private practice. So we do cover, and we do take care of a lot of people for whom we do not get reimbursed. And I also agree that health care should be decided at the state level and lower. Government operates best at the lowest possible level to the individual. So that should include not just states, but even communities should be able to control their own health care to a large extent, and I think determine their own choices for health care. I think that's the way it should work best. I think anytime you give your power and choices over your the power over your choices to a larger entity, they're going to make decisions that are not necessarily in your best interest, certainly not in the best interest of a larger population. So I think people should be able to make individual choices. What I don't like about this Colorado Care and Amendment 69 is it gives a large And the price tag isn't actually $25 billion. That's the new taxes in payroll and non-payroll taxes. But Colorado Care will also take over Medicaid, the medical portion of workman's compensation. They'll shut down the state health care exchange because it won't be needed, but they'll take the money from that. So they'll be getting a lot of money from different federal and state programs. So the total price tag, according to Colorado Health Institute, is $38 billion. With a B, $38 billion, which is much larger than the $30 billion that's quoted for what people spent on healthcare just a minute ago. And it's also something like $11 billion more than the entire state budget of Colorado. And Colorado Health Institute had a really interesting analogy to kind of put it into perspective. They said they'd have a budget larger than McDonald's, Sears, Nike, IBM, American Express. I mean, that's a big deal. It'd be the number 80th corporation in the Fortune 500. So that's a big deal.
And yet, if
run by
California,
21 people.
If California, for example, were to choose to do something similar at the state level, it would simply be, these are just numbers that reflect our population size, how many people we have, and how much we pay for healthcare. So we know it's not free. We know that healthcare costs. So I think whatever it would cost in Colorado, it would cost less in South Dakota because they have a less, smaller population, and so it goes. So I think the size and the scale of this would simply go up or down depending on your population.
Right. And also, this is just a beginning estimate.
Because if we look at healthcare in the country, it's trillions of dollars.
More
than 16% of the GDP in the country. So I guess I feel like talking about big numbers and high cost, unfortunately, that is the lay of the land when you're talking about healthcare. And big numbers isn't necessarily indicative that it's a bad idea. We're dealing with big numbers.
Exactly. So these are big numbers being put into under the control of a relatively small group of elected trustees that can't be recalled, that can vote each other off of their board and then choose their own replacements. So that's a little bizarre to me that we elect these people through Colorado Care, and when they get in, they can vote each other. It's like Survivor. They can vote each other off of the board of trustees and then choose their replacement.
Let me move and ask Tiara to actually speak directly to the governance aspect of it. Because, you know, you have the dollars, you have the delivery of care, there's choice, there's taking premiums away. A lot of things are being shifted around here. But this is a very unusual, this board management oversight to deal with, you know, vast sums of money that exceed even the budget of a state is a big deal. So talk about how the amendment is structured and what protections you think are in place that might respond to Dr. Vecchio's concerns.
Will do, yeah. So Jill's right. The total cost is going to be $38 billion, of which $13 billion comes from the federal government for Medicaid and yeah. We're spending that $13 billion now,
right,
plus the $30 billion. So this year, last year we spent $43 billion on health care. This is going to be $38 billion. We'll cover everybody. It's a better deal. And it will be run by a board of elected Coloradans, 21 people from seven different geographic districts. You'll elect three of
our
your neighbors.
Our congressional districts, right?
I don't know if they're the same. Yeah. Anyway, probably.
We don't know yet.
We'll elect. You'll elect three of your neighbors to be on this board. Now, let me just compare that. A giant insurer in Colorado, the biggest insurer in the United States, is United Healthcare. It's run by a board of executives in Minneapolis, Minnesota. If they screw you, you have nothing you can do about it. No power. Anthem Blue Cross is second, run by a board of executives in Indianapolis, Indiana. We have no say. If Colorado Care does something you don't like, you can call your neighbor who's on the board. And if you don't like what they're doing, you can vote them out of office. So, yeah, there's going to be a board of elected people to run this. Every organization needs that. But it's going to be local. It's going to be your neighbors, and you get to choose them, which nobody gets now.
How would that actually work in terms of timing, the duration of service on the board, and responding specifically to Dr. Vecchio's concern that once you're on the board, you are part of the voting body that keeps people on or off? I'm a little confused about that. Is it the people?
Yeah, what she's
November?
Talking about there is Senator Irene Aguilar, who designed our plan. She's genius. She's brilliant. She's a doctor. Somebody said to her, well, you know what's going to happen is the insurance companies with all their money are going to put people on your board to shaft this project so that it fails because the insurance companies are terrified of Colorado Care. If Colorado Care goes into effect, they will have to lower their premiums and broaden choice. It's the last
nationwide
thing they want to do. Yeah, because when we do it, other states will follow. This is why the insurance companies have budgeted $5 million to defeat us. Colorado's not that big a market for them. They're worried about other states following us, as other states did on fracking, on marijuana, on teen pregnancy prevention. We're a national leader now. They know that, and that's why they're afraid of this. So that was put in there in case somebody comes on who's trying to sabotage the plan. I don't think it's going to happen. People will have a four-year term. If they're no good, their neighbors will vote them off at the next election. They'll have a phone number. They'll have an office in your neighborhood. You can go see them. Try to see the board of directors at Cigna Healthcare in Hartford, Connecticut. There's not a chance anybody in Colorado could talk to them. Here, we'll have control.
What kinds of decisions will this board be making? What is the scope of their authority?
You know, I just have a comment to make with the Board of Trustees. You know, people don't like special interests as it is, right? We don't like the political games that happen and lobbyists and special interests having influence over the people who get to make the decisions about our lives. Well, when you only have 21 members on 21 trustees on a board, that's a very small number of people that any lobbyist or special interest group will need to influence. And they, rather than hundreds at the state legislature level or hundreds and thousands at the federal government level. So this is the idea that special interests will be diminished through this organization is silly. You know, it's going to be very easy for them. One of the other points I wanted to make, based on the budgeting, $38 billion is the budget now. I can't name a single instance when a government or in this case, maybe a quasi-governmental entity ever had an accurate cost estimate. It doesn't happen. If anybody can name one instance, please call in. But, you know, I just heard this morning the VA hospital three times over their budget by three times 4 years late. I mean, it's the government is famous for underestimating the costs so that they can get something passed and then find out that this isn't enough money. I mean, with public schools, there's always never enough money.
But I guess thinking about the coverage, that there are 300 plus thousand Coloradans who do not have coverage now, even under the Affordable Care Act, who will. There will be expanded mental health coverage. There'll be dental coverage. There'll be perhaps even and long-term care coverage. I know it sounds maybe too good to be true, but if you are concerned about cost and budget estimates, I think you have to weigh that out against what you are getting and the mechanism for raising these funds.
Well, Liz, can I talk about the numbers?
Yeah, please do. Yeah.
Yeah. So to get an issue on the ballot, the Secretary of State, who's a Republican, has to approve your wording and your budget. So we had to go to the Legislative Council. That's the budget office for the Colorado State Legislature and say, here are numbers. Do they add up? And we hired this famous expert, Gerald Friedman, at the University of Massachusetts. He went over our numbers, too. And guess what? The first time we went into them, we had a 9% tax. And they said, no, that's not enough money. So we had to raise the tax to 10%. The Legislative Council agrees that it pays off. And then it went to the Secretary of State. He's a Republican. He said, yeah, your numbers work. Now, here's the really ironclad guarantee. This whole thing is based on a clause in Obamacare called the state opt-out clause. It says if some state comes up with a better plan, you're out of Obamacare. And you got to get a waiver from from the Health and Human Services Department. And their rule is it has to your plan has to operate for at least the first 10 years in the black. So they won't give us a waiver if our numbers don't add up. So we're completely safe if the numbers
will they
don't.
Give you a waiver in advance on the presumption and the analysis of the numbers that they will work.
Yeah, they'll analyze, and then our plan is we're going to go into business on January 1st of 2019 when we get the waivers. We'll take the $25 billion I mentioned from Colorado taxpayers. We'll take $13 billion from the federal government. We'll have more than enough. Yeah, and $38 billion is a lot of money. It's less than the $43 billion we spent last year. It's more than McDonald's. Guess what? Healthcare costs more than hamburgers. That's true in every state.
I just want to remind listeners, if you've just joined us, you are listening to A Public Affair on KGNU Boulder, Denver. And we are talking this morning about Colorado CARES Initiative 69, which will be on the ballot this November. It would create a state-funded healthcare system in Colorado that would cover all citizens. We have two experts in studio here to discuss this. We have T.R. Reid, who's been working on healthcare, writing about it, making films about it for many, many years, and Dr. Jill Vecchio, who also is known nationally as a healthcare reform expert. Please call us if you have a comment or a question, 303-442-4242. Kitty is waiting to talk, and we will be going to the phones in just 1 second. Dr. Vecchio.
Just to comment or to rebut a little bit of what TR was saying, the Obamacare, the people who made up Obamacare, a lot of very smart people, a lot of very smart economists also promised us that our premiums would go down by $2,500 in the first year of Obamacare. Never happened, not even close, just the opposite to many degrees. They said that everybody would be covered. Well, they knew, the Congressional Budget Office even knew after Obamacare passed that 30 million people would still not be covered. That's why, in spite of everything we've done and all the increased premiums and increased costs of Obamacare, we still have over 300 people in Colorado who are not 300,000, insured.
300,000, right?
Yeah. 300,000, I'm sorry. So just because some government entity and some famous economist writes off on your numbers and says these look good to us, well, we've already had experience with numbers that supposedly looked wonderful, and man, it's been a disaster. So I don't think that's a reasonable argument. I think there's a lot of uncertainty with what's going to happen here.
TR, with regard to the increase in premiums that all of us have experienced since Obamacare went into effect, large premiums. I mean, what is the reason for that? I understand from some people, and these are not healthcare industry experts, that a lot of that got baked in because insurance, the private insurance companies that are in the network, that comprise the network, they knew that they had to take on people now with pre-existing conditions, that their services were going to cost more. There were going to be more people making claims, more types of illnesses. They weren't able to eliminate these people from their roles, and that is what caused premiums to go up.
I think that may be part of it. Basically, what happened is when Obamacare was written, the health insurance industry was in the room and they had enormous lobbying clout to design that bill. And Obamacare, frankly, is crony capitalism for the health insurance industry. They've made out that every insurance company's stock has doubled since that bill passed. And a major part of the cost is the administrative burden, the paperwork cost of the health insurance companies. Their administrative costs are 20%, 20 cents of every premium dollar doesn't pay for anybody's health care. It pays for advertising, salaries, marketing, sales trips to Hawaii, all that stuff. Colorado Care is going to operate like Medicare. Medicare is the most efficient health insurance plan in America. Their administrative costs are 3.8%. We think ours are going to be 4%. And that's a huge saving in a $3 trillion industry. So, and guess what? The insurance companies wrote into the law that they can charge 20% for administrative costs. And you know what they're doing with that 20% now? They're spending $5 million to defeat Colorado Care. So they're taking our premiums and campaigning to deny us a plan that will cover everybody. It's a lot of gall, in my view.
We have a couple of people, actually almost full lines, so I do want to get to that. We are coming up on 8:57. You're listening to KGNU Boulder, Denver, 88.5 FM and 1390 AM with translator K229AC in Nederland, Colorado, transmitting at 93.7 megahertz and on the web 24/7 at www.kgnu.org. Let's go to the phones and see what some of our listeners are thinking about this morning. Kitty, hi, you are on the air. Good morning.
Hi. I think, just to mess it up a little bit, why don't you pull in the discussion from a few days ago about that Section 20, whatever of the, I don't want to use the word that starts with T, the Tabor thing, you know.
Yeah.
Pull the Tabor thing into this, because you're ducking and weaving around it.
Well,
I like what...
Well, Tabor is, this initiative is exempt from Tabor because of the enterprise exemption.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
So what is your question?
Why don't we take on Tabor?
Sure.
It's a good point, Kitty. You can't do that. You only get one issue in a ballot initiative in Colorado. It's a state law, so somebody else is going to have to take on Tabor. We're just trying to get everybody health care.
Okay. Sorry, I forgot about the
single point. Issue.
Yeah.
That
okay.
Pesky thing. Thank you very much, Kitty.
Yeah, I'm following it, but it's complicated.
Yes.
Complicated.
Well, stay tuned and pay attention. It's very important.
Okay, bye.
Thank you. And Jean, good morning. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I want to ask if this new law would provide for any authority to Colorado to negotiate with the pharmaceuticals for the price of meds and with AMA maybe to control prices that are charged by hospitals and doctors for various procedures and tests. And one more comment besides my question is I'm always skeptical of somebody that wants to doubt people's movement to free themselves from the clutches of corporations, especially insurance companies. Thank you.
Thanks, Gene.
Can I respond to his last part?
Sure.
Yeah.
Believe me, insurance as a physician, insurance companies have been the bane of our existence as well. And I've also been a patient. I've had cancer twice. If I thought that this was going to work, I would be all for it. And believe me, you know, to pay into a thing and you know, if I got cancer again, the idea that, wow, I'd have everything paid for and I'd never have to deal with an insurance company, that sounds fantastic to me. I don't believe the numbers. I don't believe it's going to work. I don't think it's the right thing for Colorado. I think it's terrible for employers, and I think employers are going to respond to that. So it's not that I trust big corporations, because I don't. I don't like the insurance companies. I would like for us to have a lot more choices to stay away from the insurance companies as much as possible. But I don't think giving all of our healthcare dollars to one entity and letting them make all the decisions about what healthcare I do and don't get as an individual is the right way to do it. That's my comment.
And I have a number of questions that I'd love to pursue on that, but I do want to get to Gene's question, which has to do with the impact of Amendment 69 on access to pharmaceutical drugs.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to have enough clout to fight back against Big Pharma. And the reason is we should have 4.83 million people in our plan, which would give us some negotiating power over Big Pharma. But I think if we say to Big Pharma, we're not paying your outrageous prices, they'll say, the heck with you, Colorado. If New York would do this or California would do this, they'd have to fold. But at the moment, the big buyers of drugs in the United States don't have the power to negotiate, and Medicare, the biggest buyer of drugs by law can't negotiate for low prices. So, yeah, we will use the clout we have to demand that Big Pharma cut prices, its outrageous prices for these drugs. Some people in my group think, boy, we're going to stick it to them. I'm not sure we'll have enough people to make them fold.
So is it the hope that if Colorado were to advance this and Amendment 69 is to pass, as you noted, TR, other states are going to likely at least try to do the same thing, that we might be 5 or 10 years away where you have three states, Colorado, New York, California, that might influence, that you need that critical mass of sort of 50 million people plus to really have an bargaining impact with respect to drugs?
Yeah, this is how federalism works. The states are supposed to be policy laboratories. One or two states try an idea, the other states see it work. If you look at American history, female suffrage, minimum wage laws, child labor laws, interracial marriage,
disability
legalized
access,
marijuana, all those things started in one or two states. I'm very proud that we took on marijuana. I always say we're the highest state in the country in more ways than one. And 27 states now have legalized marijuana. It's on 7 ballots in November. It's going to pass on all of them because people trust Colorado to show them how to deal with big national problems. When we do this, the rest of the country will do this. So Colorado will lead our great country to a destination we should have achieved a long time ago. High quality health care at reasonable cost for every American.
For everyone. Dr. Vecchio.
One of the other things that the gentleman caller mentioned was the high prices that the hospitals and doctors charge. And I think that's another thing that Dr. Aguilar and I really do agree on, is we believe that people should post prices. We have a black hole where you see a charge of like $50,000 coming from a hospital. And you see that charge and you're like, holy smokes, healthcare prices are out of control. What you don't pay attention to most of the time is how much was actually paid to somebody. So a surgeon may charge $14,000 for a hip replacement, I'll give you my example. They charged $90,000 for my last cancer surgery. And if the insurance company wasn't going to bill it, that's what they were going to try and hook me for. But I know, and I looked later, what they actually paid the insurance company was a tenth of that. $9,000 is what the hospital got paid. So there's this black hole, there's this game that's been going on for years between the insurance companies and the doctors and providers and hospitals that the patient is completely left out of. And so it's a big joke. So we need to post prices. I think that would be a huge step forward in fixing our healthcare system for people to actually know what things cost and let people compete openly.
One of the big objections and concerns is healthcare professionals. There's a lot of concerns that if Amendment 69 passes and this board is put in place, that doctors will be paid less, that people will be less inclined to come to Colorado to work. We will suffer research dollar and things like that. So I'd like both of you to speak to that in particular, since obviously if we have healthcare, there are going to be people providing that healthcare. We want excellent providers, and certainly, TR, I'm sure you would agree that we don't want to dissuade people from practicing medicine in Colorado, or feel concerned that their profession isn't being properly compensated. So speak to that objection to the bill.
Doctors love this plan. I have gotten thousands of messages from doctors around the country saying, how can I do it? How can we have it in our state? Doctors love the idea, like Jill
said.
Why? Well, for one thing, as Dr. Jill said, Doctors believe that everybody ought to have access to health care, and they know we don't. And the second thing is, they love the thought that everybody who walks in their office will be insured, and they won't have to provide care free, which all doctors do now. So I think doctors are nuts about this. I hear, I'm going to Michigan to talk to the Medical Society this weekend. They're paying me to come in and tell them about our plan because they want to do it there. So I think this is going to bring doctors
to
Colorado.
So this is a red herring, that we don't have professional organizations of doctors and other providers up in arms that are looking elsewhere, getting their resumes ready to go to another state.
Well, you know, you look at physician compensation. Guess what? Doctors in New Jersey, on average, make more than doctors in Colorado. But for some reason, people leave Newark and move to Boulder. Now, why would that be?
Right.
So, no, I think this is baloney.
Dr. Vecchio.
I disagree 100%. I'll move out of Colorado. I can guarantee you that right now. And I know several of my colleagues that will move out. And already with Obamacare, five of my colleagues left medicine. Three retired and two just left. And I've really stepped back as well. When Medicare first came out, they said, oh, it's going to be, you know, the estimate was in 1965, they estimated by 1990, Medicare would be costing $9 billion. Well, the actual estimate was $63 billion. And they went from paying doctors what they were, the fee at the time. So medicine was totally different back then. But they paid doctors' fees. Now, doctors pretty much break even seeing Medicare patients. A hospital that only has Medicare patients can barely stay alive. So, because the reimbursements are so bad, a lot of times it doesn't cover our costs. Sometimes it pays more than what our costs are. And then Medicaid is the worst. We always lose money. Every time a Medicaid patient comes into my office, I still have to file the paperwork and pay somebody to do that, but it doesn't cover my costs. So it costs me money to see a Medicaid patient. But we still
see them. You wouldn't have that
if
everybody had coverage. As TR pointed out, every person that walked into your office, you would at least have an expectation
right.
of reimbursement and payment that you could
reimbursement estimate. To some extent. What I'm saying is the reimbursement a lot of times doesn't cover our costs. So whatever Colorado Care chooses to reimburse us, and they will determine the reimbursement rates. And that's always the first place they go when they need to cut costs is to decrease reimbursement to providers because they know they can. And what happens is Medicaid doesn't cover our if they reimbursed us at Medicaid rates, doctors would be leaving the state in droves. If they reimburse doctors at Medicare rates, doctors would be leaving. That's why there are a lot of doctors that don't see Medicaid patients and
That's
don't
true.
See Medicare patients, or they only see a certain number. They can't afford to see more because they still have to, you know, they still have to rent their place and pay their employees, and they have to pay people to comply with government
liability insurance.
Yeah, exactly, which other countries don't have. Which
perfectly legitimate point. Doctors get shafted by Medicaid, no doubt about it. Guess what? When the whole Medicaid population is on Colorado Care, they'll be paid at the same rate as everybody else.
Which could be a Medicaid rate eventually.
No, it will not be the Medicaid rate. Our plan is 155% of Medicare. And when I talk to doctors, some doctors say, oh, God, that's going to be tough. And many doctors say, yeah, I can do it 155% of Medicare.
But that's not in the legislation. That's an estimate. We don't know what reimbursement will be. It's not in the legislation.
I do want to get back to the phones. Jennifer and Mike are waiting to talk, so we'll do that. But we had a question from a listener about this similar effort that occurred in Vermont that failed. They got really close. I looked into that a little bit, getting ready for this program. And I think that, and you can maybe explain why, it might have to do with population size. The tax that here in Colorado is estimated to be 10%, and the initiative will call for a 10% tax. Vermont, it was going to be 19 or 20%. In order to make it work, to make the numbers work, it was double. Is that really a factor of population?
Vermont messed it up in a couple of ways. For one thing, they had a plan and then they gave it to their legislature. Big mistake, because the legislature larded it up with all sorts of goodies for their contributors. But mainly, Vermont is 620,000 people. It's not a big enough insurance pool. We're going to have 4.83 million in our plan. And what Vermont is now doing is they're going in with New Hampshire and Maine to design a three-state plan, because that'll give them 4 million, which is probably a big enough pool. So that's the big difference. The other thing we did, and this is State Senator Irene Aguilar did this, the legislator and the governor can't touch our plan. It's run by a board of your neighbors whom you elect. They can't mess with it, and I think that's crucially important.
Let's go to Jennifer in Nederland. Hi, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. I am calling as a small business owner, and when I hear 6% increase in payroll taxes, I realize that my budget would not accommodate that. I think you'll be crippling small businesses. I think you'll be waiting administrative fees on the nonprofit sector, and it really needs to be reconsidered. It sounds minimal, but it's not for small businesses.
Thanks, Jennifer. Providing health insurance now for your employees?
I do not. They all have their own support through health insurance.
And you have an individual plan?
I personally do.
Yeah. So people buying insurance on the individual market pay much more than people who have an employer to support them. So, yeah, we're going to charge you 10%. That's right, Jennifer. And you're going to get Colorado Care coverage. It's almost certainly cheaper, depending on your income. It's almost certainly cheaper than what you're paying now.
I'm not paying now. See, that's the difference. I am not paying for my staff.
But you're paying for yourself.
But
you're paying for yourself. And you're going to have cheaper coverage. And, you know, employers who don't provide health insurance, you know, quite often their employees are on Medicaid, which means all the rest of us get to pay for it. So,
well, that's not true in my case. I'll tell you that.
All right. Your individual insurance will be significantly less unless you're very rich. And that's true for any individual entrepreneur. I'm a self-employed person and I'm buying individual insurance, and I'm going to pay the 10%. It's going to cost me less.
I'm not suggesting anything about my personal coverage. I am telling you my business would probably close with an added expense. My budget will not carry it. I provide care to my community with preschool education, and it will be a program that is closed to my community. And I think it needs to be strongly considered when you look at taxing a payroll.
There are a lot of businesses out there that only have maybe a 2% profit margin or something, and they depend on part-time workers who have insurance through their families or spouses or something like that. And a lot of those businesses just can't make these numbers work. People make decisions based on what is best for them personally. And one of the reasons that Obamacare didn't work and that insurance premiums have skyrocketed is because Obamacare depended on young, healthy people to pay a lot of money for insurance that they would probably never use. And they said, I'm not doing that. Number one, I can't afford it, or this isn't a good deal for me. So they didn't do it. So the insurance companies were stuck insuring sick people, elderly people, people who had a lot of medical bills, and those premium costs and the risk was not offset by having young, healthy people in the risk pool. Does that make sense? So that's why those premiums keep going up and up and up, because people aren't stupid. They look at something and say, is this a good deal for me? Now, a lot of people are going to say, this is a great deal for me, because there are going to be a lot of people who won't have to pay into this because it's going to be payroll and non-payroll. And we haven't talked about the non-payroll part that actually does include retirement funds and Social Security
Isn't there an investment tax, a 10% investment tax?
Yeah.
And includes investments and
but what about that 3.8% Medicare tax? Would that go away? Colorado wouldn't be subject to that anymore because of the opt-out of the we get the waiver. Is that right, TR?
No, you still have to pay the Medicare tax.
Okay.
Because Medicare pays for everybody.
And
in
Medicare
the
would continue. The people that have Medicare.
Yeah,
that would
Colorado Care only goes up to age 65, and after that, you stay on Medicare. We did that for several reasons. For one thing, Medicare is a very efficient and a very popular form of insurance. And as a political matter, as you know, Liz, anytime you try to fix our rotten healthcare system, the opponents say they're going to take away your Medicare. That's a scare tactic. You can't say that about Colorado Care because people are going to stay on Medicare with our plan.
The problem is a lot of people will be paying into Colorado Care who are on Medicare and won't use that system.
Those people will
they'll be paid,
that would just be
paid.
Employers who are
no,
over
no,
the...
No, this is an individual over 65 will be receiving Medicare benefits through the federal government.
Right.
They will also be paying 10% of their retirement income, Social Security with a certain amount of, you know,
33,000 is exempt.
Well, 60,000 for a family,
right.
For a couple. Yeah, that's a pretty good exemption in Colorado. That covers most people. So most people won't pay that tax.
That amount can change based on the state legislature. So that exemption may or may not stay at that number. But beyond that, you are still going to be paying 10% of retirement for a system you'll never use.
Well, can I talk about that?
Of course. And thanks, Jennifer, for the call. And I do want to get to Medicaid, because I know a little bit about Medicaid long-term care. And I, as a estate attorney and an elder attorney, I am very worried about the impact when we have hundreds of thousands of people, or maybe millions of people, who are going to qualify for Medicaid long-term care. And that is going to run $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 a month per person for years. This Colorado Cares incorporates long-term care into it. Currently, there is no way to get long-term care unless you impoverish yourself and get Medicaid, unless you have insurance. So is that a big savings down the pike, TR, that people aren't really properly factoring into this, a potential trillions of dollars if you have, you know, all these baby boomers needing long-term care and getting on Medicaid?
Yeah, that's a huge saving that people will realize over time. That's right. The thing about a person, I'm on Medicare, I'm pretty old, and you know what, I don't have kids in the public schools anymore, and I pay the property tax to pay for public schools because I think it's right that we provide education for everybody in our state. I'm going to pay for Colorado Care because I think it's right that we provide health care for everyone who needs it. That I want to live in a state like that. So yeah, I'll pay for it.
Are you worried about another objection, another concern is that we will have tons of people coming to Colorado for, quote, free health care?
No, I don't think that's going to happen. Here's why I know that. Colorado expanded Medicaid. We were one of the first states to do the Medicaid expansion. Wyoming, Nebraska, Kansas, and Utah did not. And we haven't had any huge influx. You can ask all the community health centers. We haven't had a huge influx of Nebraskans coming here to get treated. And then the second thing is, we're going to have a residency requirement. And there are many different residency requirements. A woman in Boulder did the research for this. There are many different residency requirements in Colorado. I think the relevant one is probably to get in-state tuition at CU, you have to be here a year. Our board will pick some residency requirements. So the notion that somebody's going to come here from Nebraska, get a new knee, and go back, it won't work. You got to be a resident of Colorado to be covered.
Got it.
Actually, in the legislation, it said that you could intend to live in Colorado and be a beneficiary, that you didn't actually have to prove residency, and actually the board gets to determine what a resident is. So it's not necessarily the same definition.
Well, right? I agree, but as I say, there's several laws in Colorado to determine residency. You got to get a driver's license after 90 days, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. We'll pick one of them, and I think, to me, the most relevant one is the in-state tuition.
Let me go to Mike, who's been waiting patiently in Denver. Hi, Mike. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hi. Great discussion, and thank you to the station and to both your guests. I just wanted to. I tend to agree with Mr. Reed, but the doctor Jill, was that her name?
Jill Vecchio.
Yeah.
Jill Vecchio. She made a really valid point that we can't overlook, and that's that people will tend to do what they perceive to be in their own best interest. And, you know, you're not going to get around with that. I mean, I know I do it. I mean, I'm not a saint, and I don't think there's too many saints to be relied on. But I wanted to mention something. In Germany, this is what I heard. Now, I could be wrong, and I'm not an expert on anything, but I heard that Germany, you know, has really good public health access, but they do it through nonprofit insurance companies, and that they have something over I don't know that this is exactly accurate, but something in the neighborhood of over 200 nonprofit health insurance companies, and the German citizenry, you can pick and choose and kind of customize your own plan with a subsidy, I guess, from the government. So you know, you basically choose what is best for you, for your age, for what you think, given you know the parameters of the program. And of course, our insurance companies are notoriously profit-driven, and you know, it's sort of like somewhat analogous to the nuclear power. car industry when they were guaranteed, and I think this is close, something like a 15% profit no matter what. So, you know, without, you know, by the government. So, you know, without, you know, government support, the nuclear power industry collapses. Nobody will take on the liability. No insurance companies in the world would take on liability for nuclear power, only the government. So it's kind of crammed down the citizenry's throat. And alluding back to Germany, of course, they're going to go non-nuke, you know, in the future. I guess they're trending toward that. But another point I wanted to make real quickly is my father, when he was alive, and I saw the actual bills, he had an insurance company for his Medicare supplement called the Hartford, and he liked it. And he went in for heart surgery, and I was there. I saw the bill when he got it, and he hit the roof. They didn't realize that he did have the Hartford. They just thought he had Medicare, the hospital. This is in southern Utah, in St. George, Utah, and a you know, major facility down there, the dominant health provider down there, hospital. And they sent him a bill for $45,000, right around there. I saw it, and because you know, he asked me to look at it because he had a eyesight problem,
and he couldn't believe it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, hold on, let me just a second. It gets a little better. So he said, you know, he hit the roof, and he said, "God damn it, Mike, you follow up on this for me." So I did. So when they found out he had the Hartford as his supplement, they thought he was an individual by himself, a lone senior citizen with only Medicare, didn't have the wherewithal to buy a supplement, yeah, and they're going to stick him for $45,000. So when they found out that he had the Hartford, I saw that bill drop down to almost $15,000 for the same thing. And that was the one that stuck. And when they found out that the negotiating power of the Hartford Insurance Company was going to be negotiating with the hospital and not this 80-plus-year-old old man who's blind, he saved $30,000. And so the thing is that the pricing game that the doctor alluded to, I've seen it with my own eyes. And of course, if you hadn't been in that boat, you would go, well, what's to complain about? But anyway, it's a great discussion. But the nonprofit insurance companies in Germany—that's what makes it. They make a profit, but they can't make, you know, killer profits. Right. And so, systemically, the problem is really, really deep. This is obvious to everyone, and I do believe that the Obama plan did. You know, it wasn't transparent, and the insurance companies, you know. You know, they're profit driven. So anyway, I'm going to go.
Yeah, Mike, you know, I wrote a book about healthcare overseas.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
Okay, bye.
Great points.
I went to Germany, and you're right. They have 220 insurance companies. Everybody is required to buy health insurance, and the health insurance are basically charities. They're not there to make a profit. In fact, if they have a surplus, they're required by law to distribute it to the other companies that didn't have a surplus that year so that they don't go cherry picking for healthy people like our insurers famously do. But here's the thing about health insurance in Germany. They have to cover everybody. They have to cover every procedure. They have to cover every doctor. It's illegal to have this narrow network. And guess what? They have to pay your bill within 3 days. No insurance company in America would do that kind of thing. So they do have private insurance, but it's regulated. Now, Jill pointed out that these young people don't want to buy insurance, even with this small fine under Obamacare. Guess what? In Colorado Care, everybody pays. Everybody pays. Every person who walks into Jill's office will have insurance, and they'll all be paying for it. It's a better system than what we're stuck with now.
Not everybody will be paying for it because it's based on payroll tax, non-payroll tax. It's based in and tax-based government systems. So if you're not paying taxes, not obligated to pay taxes, then you're not paying into the system. But you can still vote to increase taxes. Every single year, they can increase taxes, these payroll taxes, and there is no limit to how much those taxes can go up every year.
No, but they can only raise the tax if the voters of Colorado vote to raise the tax.
But
and nobody out under the poverty line pays for health care now.
Anyway,
they're not going to pay
right,
for it
no.
in Colorado Care. We're still going to treat them because they're human beings. They deserve care. Maybe they'll get healthy
have actual coverage.
And make a good income and pay taxes. And, yeah, guess what? People below the poverty line are allowed to vote in our country. That's not an outrage.
I want to give John a chance to ask the last question, then we're going to have to wrap up. Hi, John. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. I was just calling up because I actually own a small business in Boulder, and I also work as a teacher during the school year. And At my teaching job, I pay about a third of my income for what amounts to nothing in health care. I've got a $5,000 deductible for the family, so I pay nothing.
Yeah.
And with my small business, you know, we would happily pay 10% to get this to happen, because if I didn't have to have my health insurance through the schools and I could do it through Colorado Care, it would actually save me a significant amount of money. And the third point I want to make was that if you're running a business and your margins are tight enough that you can't pay a living wage or you can't afford 6% for health care for your people, you shouldn't be in business. I mean, part of business is setting it up so that you make enough of a margin to be able to take care of your people and make a profit.
Thanks, John. We just have a couple minutes. I want to ask our guest to respond to that. Thank you very much for the call.
Okay, thanks.
We just have a couple minutes, so if you'll just, you know, maybe respond and wrap up, that would be great. Thanks, both of you.
Well, I think, you know, everybody says, well, for maybe for 10% tax, this is worth it for me. But what if it was 12, 13, 14, 15%? Because in all of these different countries that TR wrote and has talked about, they're going increasingly to private care as a supplement, as a backup plan, private practice that people pay cash for. Not all of them. Every system is, every country has a different system to some extent. But they're finding it more and more difficult to make ends meet financially. Japan, I met with one of the Japanese health ministers a couple years ago, and they're having real financial problems in Japan with their healthcare system. So they're looking to private systems or something else that can supplement their system to keep it alive. So people are going to be paying double. People here will pay double if they choose, just like they pay into the public schools and then have to pay for private school or choose to pay for private schools. What my point is, I think there's too much uncertainty with this. I think there's uncertainty about how people are going to react to it, uncertainty about what the numbers really are and if they're accurate, and what will happen over time and what will happen with physicians.
Dr. Jill Vecchio, if people want to find out more about the opposition to 69, Amendment 69, where can they get information?
We started a nonprofit called Healthcare Options That Work.
Okay.
And we're working on healthcare options that really will work for everyone and make sure that everyone gets insurance that they need at an affordable, very affordable cost.
Healthcareoptionsthatwork.com.
.com or .org. Either one works.
Okay. Thanks so much, Dr. Vecchio. And T.R. Reid, last word here.
The current system is one we can't be proud of. It leaves 360,000 people uninsured. It sticks people like John. He's paying a third of his income for health care and never gets to use it because of the high deductible. We're going to cover everybody. We're going to reduce costs for almost everybody. We're going to eliminate deductibles. We're going to give the patient the choice. And we're going to lead our country to universal health care. These are all the reasons to vote yes for Colorado Care Amendment 69. If you want to know more, coloradocare.org.
I want to thank both of you. Thanks to all the callers. Mary, I'm so sorry we didn't get to you, but thanks for your questions and your concerns. Dr. Jeff is queuing up for the Morning Sound Alternative. We'll be going to him shortly. Stay tuned in the space for further debates about Amendment 69 and all the other initiatives and elections that will be in front of all of us this November. For KGNU, I'm Liz Lane.